God is good.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. No matter how you feel, God is still good.
Yes.
Amen. You believe that? It's not. It doesn't matter what's happening outside. God is still good.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He says He will not change.
Amen.
So that means you have to change. I have to change. And we have to match up with God.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
Yes,
let's just pray. Father, we just pray for your word today. We pray that, Lord, as we gather around it, that, Lord, you would open up to us something afresh and new, and that, Lord, you would encourage us to press in deeper into your presence and into your word. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your people.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And I pray, O God, that together, Lord, we will pull down the strongholds. We shall see the enemy being defeated. And we shall see captives set free in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Today's Remembrance Sunday. Over this weekend, we've been remembering the tragic days of war. Tragic losses. Lives being destroyed and thrown away. Minds and hearts being twisted through the pains of war and the loss of war. And Jesus gave us a scripture. He said that the Satan, the devil, has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And war comes from the very pit of hell. The desire for power. The desire to control somebody. The desire to control nations. To have all power. That was Satan's desire. He wanted to be like God. The problem is, he doesn't have the love of God. He has bitterness. He has jealousy. He has hatred. He has malice. He has envy. He has greed. And the Bible says, God is love. Love covers such a multitude of wrongs. In John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the cosmos." I know many, but most of the time in your Bible it says, "For God so loved the world." And I guess you, like me, would think when you begin to think about the world, you think about the earth and everything that's in it, don't you? That's what we think. We think that's what he said. "For God so loved the world." That word in the Greek is actually, "God so loved the cosmos." What's the cosmos? The universe. In other words, God so loved all of his creation. All of God's creation, God still loves it. And he sent Jesus to take it back from the devil. Adam was in charge. And he lost it to the devil. And the devil began to ravage through the cosmos. Ravage through all of creation. And Jesus came. And Jesus came to redeem all of creation back to himself. Yeah? He came for the whole of the universe. He came for everything that his Father and he and the Holy Spirit had created.
Yes.
Not just this blue ball that spins around in space, that has a sun that it goes around, and but he died for all things in the universe. For all things. All of creation. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Whether people agree with that, whether people accept him as their Lord and Savior, in the end, they still belong to him. They came from him. They came, everything, the Bible says, everything came out of God.
It did.
So it belongs to him. Not all of it says that he is Lord. But God is at work. And through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he came and laid down his life. The scripture says, for the sins of men, the sins of the world were brought upon each and every one of us, basically, through Adam's sin. Through one man, sin came into the world and all have sinned. But because of Jesus Christ, through one man, the Son of God, there is redemption. There is a connection back to God. There is a returning for each and every one of us to go back to our Heavenly Father, to be embraced in the arms of the Heavenly Father, because he loves us. He cares for us. God is not a God of war. Jesus, one of the names for Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Well, if he's the Prince of Peace, then his Heavenly Father God must be the King of Peace. Hallelujah. He's the King of Peace. And Jesus said, I leave you my peace. Don't worry. Don't get distressed.
Amen.
Relax.
Yes. Enjoy the journey.
Enjoy this journey.
Amen.
Because along the journey, yes, there will be battles.
Yeah.
But there'll be victories.
God.
If you trust me, there will be victories.
Amen.
If you trust me and follow me, stay in my word,
yes,
there will be victory. Amen. We had a victory on Wednesday. Didn't we, Manny? Yeah, we did. Tuesday. We had a victory on Tuesday. It was Tuesday, weren't it? I don't even know what day I'm on. Tuesday, we had the English class going on and everything was happening. And then in the afternoon, somebody came up with this dumb idea. We were going to have a look at the drains and the guttering along the side of the building. I don't know whose idea that was. I can't imagine neither. Maybe it was Manny's idea, I don't know. So there we were going up and down the ladders and trying to unblock a drain. And we were getting nowhere. Manny had the hose pipe. I had the mallet. You nod your head, Manny, and I'll eat it. I mean, yeah. There we were. I was banging the pipe. He got the hose pipe shoved up the drain, and it was blocked. Absolutely solid, wasn't it? Was moving nothing. We thought we were going to have to smash the thing to pieces, didn't we? Finally, we hammered it off, and it was absolutely solid. And then Manny decided, I'll go right up to the top of the building and I'll clear it up there. Well, we still had the hose pipe running. Well, at that point in time, one was wet from one's feet up to the knees. It was called rising damp. And it was rising higher all the time. And then just to encourage me a little bit more to keep pressing on and to keep rejoicing, Manny decided to put the hose pipe down the back of my neck. Now I'm wet from head to toe. What do? Just get on with it. Press in. And that was nothing to what it was like in the trenches in World War I. When men were laid in the trenches, day upon day upon day. Bodies laid, buried in the trenches. People freezing to death, swelling up. And these men gave their lives so that today, in our nation, we can have freedom. We can have peace. We can have freedom of religion. We can come here in this building and we can worship God together. Men and women died so that you and I today could go to university, could go to school. They died so that we could be free. They died. They gave a great sacrifice. They gave everything they had. Wow. A lot of them went out, I think, believing that we're just going to go out there, we're just going to give them a few shots and a few rounds, and by Christmas it'll all over and be done with. Trouble is, nobody said which Christmas. And it went on and on and on. And in some cases it were just massacres. They sent men over the walls, over the trenches, and they were just mowed down. And these people died that we might stand here today and have what we have and go to school and to be able to travel and to have the freedom that we have. They stood there for the principles. They fought for the principles of the Word of God. The Bible says to us, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, we have this type of freedom, but you know, there's an even greater freedom in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible also tells us there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned anymore. Glory to God, we're free. We are people that God loves and cares for. He loved us so much that he took and allowed his only Son to come and die on a rugged cross on a hill. Outside the city gates, where thieves and robbers were whipped and beaten and hung and crucified to death. And God said, he looked down the corridor of time. He looked down 2,000 years and he saw your faces. He saw each and every one of us and he said, I love them. I love them. And I'm sending my Son Jesus for them.
Yes.
He knew you before you were even born. Isn't that great, Martin?
Yeah.
You know, he knew what pathway you'd end up taking.
Yeah.
And along the way, he put something in the way.
Yeah.
To stop you losing everything.
Yeah.
And he brought you back to himself.
He did.
He redeemed you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God put a roadblock on along the way to catch you, to draw you to himself, to bring you into a relationship with Jesus. And do you know, in these next few weeks, there are people out there that God is planning to catch hold of.
Yes.
Are you going to be the roadblock? Are you going to be the net?
Yes.
That will catch these people?
Amen.
Are you going to be there?
Yes.
To bring them in?
Amen.
Are you going to be one of the disciples that said, that Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men? And you will bring in, you will pull them in, win them to Jesus. That's what it's about. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 15. We'll read from verse 14 first. Another title for the Lord Jesus, he said, he said to the people, he said, I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
Amen? He's not a bad shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me.
Yeah.
Amen? Does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you? Does he? Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, when you walk in this building, I look at you and I know you. And you know me. The question is, do we know Jesus and does he know you? Big question. That's the most important question of our life. Do we know Jesus? And does Jesus know us? He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus made a decision. He made a decision to lay down his life for you. He calls us sheep. But he laid down his life for you. 2,000 years ago, he knew you were going to exist. He even knew you were going to university. He even knew what subjects you were going to study. For me, that's a, you know, I think, how does he do that? I'll tell you how he does it. Do you want to know? Do you want to know the secret? Yeah? Because he's God. He's God. He created all things. And out of him came all things. I was reminded this week, actually, came up on my Facebook. Somebody put this little picture. Those of you on Facebook, I'll send it round this week. I'll share it this week with you. And it's a picture that shows a cross. But it is a product, a substance that scientists have discovered within our DNA. And it's called lamellin.
Yeah.
Lamellin. Do you get that all together? 1, 2, 3. Lamellin. You need to know this one with your subject. Lamellin. And that is what holds, that is the main structure that holds our DNA. What we are made of, it holds it all together. And when they look at, when they isolate that substance on its own and begin to look at its structure and its shape, it is in the shape of a cross.
Amen.
The thing that holds you and me together today is the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And I mean within our very physical bodies, science discovers it is the cross that holds us together. And when it comes to salvation, it is the cross that brings us back to God, that holds us together. Our spiritual life, our future, is held together by the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Glory to God. We can rejoice in the cross. The cross is empty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. The stone's been rolled away. Hallelujah. I've been to the tomb. I've seen the tomb. And it's empty. Hallelujah. He's not there. He's risen. He's ascended. He's glorified. He's got the victory. Hallelujah. He's victorious. Jesus is victorious over all. The Prince of Peace. He's victorious. Hallelujah. He's come to set the captives free. In John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 33. John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Peace. He wants us to have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Just pop up that. Just make sure they got this. I need them just to. He's the Prince of Peace. You got it? Yeah. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. He says, you know, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. They're going to be problems. Those of you that have children, you know, when your children arrive, they seem to be wonderful, don't they? You that become grandparents think, oh, what lovely children. And as they begin to grow up, they begin to change. Oh, hallelujah. And instead of laughter, sometimes they bring tears. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. I know your mum cried. Didn't she? She rejoiced when you were born. She loved you as a youngster. She did everything for you. And as you got older, you made her cry. They change. They change. We need to make sure that our children know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Because we live in a very challenging world. And this world is constantly trying to get your attention, trying to get your children's attention, trying to draw them away, trying to say that the things of this world are far better than what you can get from God. Well, I'll tell you what. Everything the world offers breaks down.
Yeah.
Do you know why I know it breaks down? Because every time you buy something, they offer you a guarantee. Why do they offer you a guarantee? Because they know at some point in time, this thing is going to break. This thing is not going to work. Pauline and Ken, they bought one of these great big fridge freezer things. Our house isn't big enough to get it in. Got this great big fridge freezer thing. How long did it last? Two years? Well, the thing broke down. They had to have another one, didn't you? you've got a separate one now. They've got a separate fridge freezer now. This lot, they've been having nothing but trouble with them, haven't you? Just bought a bag of trouble. You know, they used to say you could buy a motor car if it was made on a Friday. Oh, Lord, no. Not a Friday car. Because everybody was thinking about the weekend and going home and, you know, getting drunk and doing everything else, but didn't concentrate on what they were doing. So the Friday cars came out, and the Friday cars always broke down, they said. And everything you buy, they offer you a guarantee because it just might break down. Just might stop working. God offers you a guarantee. Not because it's going to break down. Not because he's going to stop working. He offers the guarantee that you can have eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's a guarantee. That's a surety. That's a certainty that in Christ we have that guarantee from God. It's not like a guarantee that we have in the world. I suppose the world is a bit of a warranty, not a guarantee, isn't it, really? They give you a warranty. You know, we'll cover it for 6 months and then after that it'll probably break down, so we don't want to know then. God covers us for eternity. Amen? Hallelujah. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take courage. That take courage means rejoice! Rejoice! Hallelujah. That word means rejoice. Get excited. It says cheer. That's, you see, that's rubbish. It's rubbish, that. Cheer up. Cheer up. That's not rejoicing, is it? It's weak. See, this is a modern translation. It's weak. And that's today. The world waters down the power of God. It says, rejoice. Put the Nepalese word up if you got it there for me. It says, rejoice.
Yes.
Have a great time.
Amen.
Enjoy God. Rejoice in it. Be involved. You know, when you get a brand new car, you just say, it's all right, isn't it? No, come and see my car. You're happy, you're rejoicing. When the baby arrives, BJ's going to say, you want to come and see our baby? And his wife's going to say, oh, it's just a baby. I mean, they're not going to be like, are you? Is that what you're going to say? No. You're going to be rejoicing. Look, come and see. And Grandma, oh, Grandma's going to be there, you know. Just look at this, you know. Oh, look, this is my grandbaby. And there she is. She's going to be running around so excited because she's rejoicing. Amen. Rejoice. Rejoice. Get excited. Become exuberant.
Yes.
Involves
your own body, doesn't it?
You know. I'm rejoicing. Oh, that's very nice. I'm rejoicing. Wonderful. I'm rejoicing. Yeah. I'm not, am I? Is that rejoicing? Did you enjoy that? That's not rejoicing, is it? Do you rejoice like that? That was lovely, wasn't it? We'll have to do it again, that, you know, really nice. Had a great time. Very good. Would you like to do it again? Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
It was lovely. Had a fabulous time. Oh, really, 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 really happy about it. Really? Well, if somebody said that to me and acted like that, I'd say, well, you're going on your own next time because I'm not taking you. I've seen some folk. Well, I saw them yesterday on the TV. There's this bag of wind in a piece of plastic. Bag of wind in a piece of plastic. It's called a ball. And it goes, Marty, between these white posts. You know all about it, don't you? Who do you support? Really? Celtic? Anyway. Goes between these posts. And when Martin watches Celtic play, and Celtic, you know, managed to get that piece of plastic between these two white posts, he just goes, we scored. Is that right? No. Yes! You know what I mean? What's he doing? He's rejoicing! Yes! And then he runs round and he goes and gives somebody who he's never met before a great big hug. You know? And men, you know, outside of football, we don't hug. You know? We have our space. When it comes to football, and they're jumping up and down, and you're thinking, that's a piece of plastic that's just gone into the back of the net, and 20 odd thousand people are leaping up and down like a set of lunatics. Yeah? And then I tell you today that Jesus Christ died and rose again on the third day to give you eternal life, to forgive you all your sins, to set you free, to heal you, to deliver you, to bless you with a blessing of an abundance, and to provide for you, to keep you in that you're accustomed to, and even greater. And you all sit there and go, I don't know if I want that or not, really. I'm not sure. And that lasts for eternity. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know how many evers. Amen. Somebody was talking yesterday about saying that they were a supporter of Liverpool Football Club. Anybody a football supporter apart from Martin? Anybody support football? No, not really bothered. Oh, who do you support, Dilly? Chelsea. Let me ask you a question. No, let me ask you. Wait. You support Celtic. When did you last go to a football match? Huh?
Last year.
When did you go to Chelsea? 1995. Right. Now I understand why Chelsea's not doing well at the moment. They're actually waiting for your money to help them buy some new players so they can improve their game. So you see, because of your support or lack of your support, you see, they're struggling. They're something like 15th, 16th in the table or something, aren't they? Or I don't know what it is. Can you see people say, oh, I support Liverpool? You know, I support Chelsea. I support Celtic. No, you don't. I'm sorry. You don't. You don't.
We have to be careful, you see. We use that word support. And I'm only joking with you guys, like, but I'm trying to get my point over here. When we come to church, we come and we're here. And as we come, we're supporting the things of the kingdom of God. We're standing for the kingdom. We need to be inputting into the kingdom of God. We need to be, when we say we're supporting our church, we're supporting the church leadership, we're supporting the vision, we're supporting the process of moving forward in the kingdom, it means I'm coming. I'm going to be here. You can't support us laid on your settee.
No.
Can you? You can pray, but that's not... We'd like to see you and pray with you. You can't say, well, I'm supporting the university, but I'm not coming this week. You know, I'm going to miss a few classes. It's not going to go down well. We have to connect. And when we come to church, we're rejoicing in the things of God. During the week, God has blessed us. Well, we should be rejoicing and say, hey, guess what? Have you heard what God did for me this week? Because every day, God watches over you. Every day, God is doing things for you. And we need to start to see what God is doing. And then we've got to start rejoicing. Hey, glory to God. Do you know what God did for me? Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Glory to Jesus. And we get excited. Praise God. Oh, this is fantastic what God did this week. A few weeks ago, somebody hit my car and banged the door mirror, as they are, and doesn't work properly, very well. Fortunately, they stopped and said, oh, they'd pay for it and sort it out. Like, I said, okay, fine. So I took the car round to a number of garages and got quotations. And the last one said to me, definitely needs fixing because it's loose here and it's loose this way. Well, it was already, I mean, the car was just about brand new, but it was still loose before. And I took it to the garage and says, this is loose, I don't like it. Oh, it's within spec. It's a wide spec, obviously, you see. Some Christians have a wide spec of Jesus Christ. They can do anything, it's all right, it don't matter. God will forgive them. No, it's not quite like that. Well, because this lady hit this mirror, I've had to have a new one put on. Doesn't move like that anymore, or up and down like that anymore. Now, I could have said, oh, God, you know, she's hit my mirror, she's broke it, what am I going to, you know, I'm getting to the mully grubs about it, complain and moan. But no, I said, no, well, praise God, whatever. So I end up with a new mirror that's fine, that's good. And I'm like, praise God, ain't God good? This week He's been looking after me, watching over me constantly. No matter what I'm doing, He's watching over me. God is looking down and saying, what can I do for you? What do you need? And when you speak to Him, He gives to you, it says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, does God give to you? And you know, when God does something for you, you should tell people. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You should tell people. Because when they discover that you talk to God, and He talks to you, because He does,
they'll suddenly say, "Will you talk to God for me?" Yeah, of course they will. "What do you want me to talk about?" Then you can pray with them. And then you begin to lead them into the kingdom of God. And you begin to draw them in step by step by step by step until you've got them in coming into the fullness, and then they're no longer sat halfway down the church or at the back of the church, but they're sat on the front row. Hallelujah. And they're basking in the presence of God, and they're rejoicing and worshipping, and they're having a great time. It's even better than scoring goals. Hallelujah. Being in the presence of a God who loves you and cares for you and wants to just shower you with blessings innumerable. And you know, when you bless so much, you just got to come to church and tell somebody. You've got to do it. If we want to be blessed and more blessed, start telling it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Gossip the gospel. Speak it out to people. Supermarkets, great place to witness. Check out. You having a good day? You know, I'm not, you know, it's all right, but, oh, I'm having a wonderful day, you know. I've just spent some time with the Lord Jesus, and, you know, oh, you know, believe what God did for me this last week, you know, I worked very well, and I was just praying, and God spoke to me and touched my life. Meep, meep, and they're thinking, beep, 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 beep. Either your shopping gets through faster, or they start listening, beep, beep, really. And you can share the gospel of Jesus with them. They're captive. They have to serve you. They need to take your money. Well, tell them about Jesus. Glory to God. You know, even a small corner shop. You know, tell them about Jesus. Every opportunity. Not tell you what he does. He goes to the gym, you know, to work out. He does three lifts and then he heads for sauna. Gets a sweat on in sauna then. And then starts witnessing. He says, "I've done my exercises, you know, and I need to relax and chill." Then he starts witnessing in sauna. "I've sussed you, you know, telling me you're going to gym." "Yeah, I've heard up. Graham goes to the gym, he does the same. All I ever hear, what did you, I don't hear what the lift or how many miles they walked." She said, "Oh, I went in sauna." Like, what? I get more exercise than them. And I don't go to the gym. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the world. If you want to be in the world, Jesus says you're going to get some tribulation. Think about that. If you're in the world, you're going to get tribulation. Because the devil's full of trouble. Trials and tribute, the devil's full of trouble. So if you want to live in the devil's world, then you're going to be troubled.
Yeah.
You see, you went along the way you went because of troubles.
Yeah.
Troubles in the mind. You were troubled. Circumstances, situations, and they overcome you. And you turn to situations that answers from the world. And they just take you deeper into trouble, deeper into the world system, and they begin to suck your very life from you. Is that true? You know, I've got there's three guys here that can say, if you get into this stinking world system, it will begin to suck the life out of you. Is that not true?
Yeah.
See, you didn't get free. If you were not free, you would not be married to that pretty young lady. Right? Now you've got to remember this. People were praying for you. Over 100 people in Doncaster had your name on a prayer list. And they were praying for you. And if those people didn't do it, you wouldn't be married to that handsome young man who's soon to be a father. And there would be no baby. Think about it. And all this comes in truth because people are praying.
Yeah.
People want you to know Jesus in such a personal way. People want you to have that personal relationship with Jesus. That's why they prayed for you. And God wants to have that personal relationship with each and every one of us. So in the world, we're going to have some tribulation. If you hang about with the world, you will be in tribulation. But the Bible says, rejoice. Become ecstatic. Because there's a thing that I've got an answer to this. And Jesus says, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's overcome it. He's beat it. He's got it pressed down. He's got it underneath his feet. He's got everything under control.
Amen.
Jesus has done the work on the cross. And we can live in that completed work of the cross. He's overcome the world.
Yeah.
And he's bringing us to that point where we are at peace with everything.
Yeah.
We're at peace with ourselves.
Yeah.
So often, many of our troubles, people go to drink and to drugs and to other things because in themselves, they're not at peace. Their minds are not at peace. They're in turmoil. I remember once going into a bank and this girl was serving behind the counter. And this is probably 20 or 30 years ago, and I was shocked to hear her saying that she was having to go to the doctors to take some form of medication to cause her to relax and calm her down and stop her being so stressed out with life. 18? And they're stressed? 18? They're under pressure with life? Man. I wish I was 18 instead of 28. But glory to God, that's the way it is, you know. I remember having a great time at 18. I was worshipping Jesus.
Amen.
I was involved in church. I was there 6 days a week nearly and having a fantastic time with God. That's why I'm still here today. Forty odd years later, I'm still here today praising God. Rejoicing in God because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Hallelujah. He knows what you and I need for today. He knows what we need for tomorrow. There's an old song, put your hand in the hand of the Master. When you put your hand in the Master, He'll lead you. He'll direct you. He will give to you good things because he's the Prince of Peace. You know, it's not peace like the world knows that just, well, things are quiet and okay. It's that even in the midst of trouble around you, there is this peace that just beats from within, that ministers to us. The world, for thousands of years, has constantly been crying for peace, peace, peace. We've gone through 2 world wars, and the call was for peace, peace. We fought to get our peace back. And yet still today, there are wars in the world still going on. Are there not?
And they're not satisfied. Do you know why? They don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's not come to bring war. He came to bring peace. He came to bring harmony and unity. He came to bring all of the universe back into harmony with the love of God. And yes, as we today remember what hundreds of thousands, if not millions of men and women did to allow us to be free, to allow us to live in a nation where there is no war, to have some measure of peace in the natural sense, we've something to be thankful for. And I know some of you have been in the army and served for our nation, and you've helped us be free. And we thank God for that, for your bravery. If you watched the services last night on TV, there were three families who lost fathers in an aeroplane that came down 10 years ago. Tragic. Brought tears to my eyes, made me weep. Children lost fathers. Life's taken like that in a moment of time. Doesn't need a war to do that. We heard some news just a couple of weeks ago. A young man who's been in the rehab program left the program where Martin had been in Carpenters, and he left early, really, in one sense, and he began to drink a little bit. And a friend of his invited him away on holiday to Spain, paid for his holiday, and they were out drinking, as they do. That's obviously having a great time, drinking. And there they were, busy drinking away, getting a little bit light-headed and foolish. Then they had this big argument. And this young man, Terry, stormed out the bar, out into the main road, hit by a car. Killed him instantly. He loved the Lord, but he started to drift. There was great potential for his life. God had got good things for him to do. He'd got a lovely heart for God. But people were trying to draw him away. Bright lights and money, trying to draw him away. And what did it bring for him? Shortened life, it brought destruction. Now his mum's lost a son who in the last 18 months he'd just become the son that she'd always wanted. And then suddenly he lapsed for a few moments, and in that lapse of a few moments he's gone. This next week there'll be many people remembering him at a funeral. A life taken before it fulfilled its potential and purpose for God. Don't lose out. Don't miss out yourselves today. Let's remember, as we did around the Lord's table, let's remember what Jesus has done for you and for me. Let's remember to spend time daily with Him. Let's remember Him daily. Let's walk with Him daily. Let's keep our hands in the hand of the Master daily. Don't let the people, don't let the things of this world snatch you away. It is so easy. You know at university, there are people, many people around you who are not Christians. Oh, it's all right, we're going to a party. It's okay. We'll look after you. Yeah, right. They can't look after themselves. They get a little bit tipsy. Giddy. Next thing you know, somebody slips them a drug. And they're raped. And then their lives become a tragedy. And where does it lead to then? In a moment. In a moment. Your life, my life can disappear. Let's remember that Jesus died for you. He died for me. And he rose again on that third day to bring us to a place of peace in Jesus Christ. He's overcome the world. And if the world's causing you problems, then I want to give you some advice. If the world's causing you problems, take them to Jesus. Go and talk to God about it. Spend time in his presence. And when you've been talking to God, leave the problem with him. Leave your problems at the foot of the cross. Walk away from them, saying, they're not mine. I've given them to Jesus. I've left them there. He will set me free.
Yes.
Don't have a piece of string on them. You know, when you get so far, you start pulling them back. I need that problem. You know, I just need it. You don't need it. Scissors. Holy Spirit scissors. Cut it. Release it. It's God's problem. You can't sort it. It's too big for you. It's too big for me. But God can sort it. Amen? Everybody stand, please. If you have a problem, you have a need, I want you to just take your problems right now and just put them in your hands. And just begin to present these problems to God. These challenges, your worries and your cares, just begin to present them to God. And just ask the Lord to just take these problems and difficulties and just say, Lord, I'm going to give them to you. And, you know, just see yourself at the cross and just placing the problems before God. And leave them there. When you've left them, begin to spend more time with him, because you've got some spare time. You're not going to be focusing on your problems. You're not going to be worrying about your problems, because you've given them to him. So now you can focus on him and him alone. And you can spend time. You know, you might have problems at school. You might have problems with a subject. Give it to God and begin to ask God to show you how to do it. You might have problems at work. You might have people you're having difficulty with at work. Give it to God. Ask God to begin to deal with it. He's interested in every aspect of your life. Amen? Father, we just bring our every needs and problems and difficulties to you. The very challenges we face, oh God, we bring them to you, and we pray, Father, that you would just minister by your word into our lives, and that we would leave these problems before you and difficulties that we have, and we would lay them at the foot of the cross. And we would turn our back upon them, but we would look to you, that, Lord, you would minister to each and every one of us. And that next week, oh God, we would come rejoicing. We would come as overcomers, giving you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our God is a problem solver. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name.